First, here's the managing general, or more commonly known as the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, Ross Atkins. How's your golf game?
Not very good.
Yeah, you've been busy,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's terrible. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We know it's a busy time, and you got through yesterday. Compare August to July in terms of busyness. Is it? I mean, obviously, you're still looking. Other teams are still looking. There's a trade window here until the end of the month. It requires a waiver situation, but that might or might not it complicates things, but it doesn't necessarily prohibit stuff from happening. Put it in context. How much easier is it?
The best way I could describe how busy you are prior to the draft and prior to the trade deadline is that it's the only time of the year where you might not watch every single pitch of a game.
Really? Yeah.
Twice or three times with the way technology is today.
Right.
Because you're so hyper-focused on the opportunity. And that, you know, it takes a ton of stamina from a lot of people to work through the number of potential scenarios and acquisitions. And I think it's actually in some ways, can be refreshing because it's something that you have to work so hard. Maybe therapeutic is a better word, but just because you have to work so hard as a group for so long that you really do feel good after having accomplished, regardless of the outcome. Obviously, that's going to have an impact on how you feel after a draft, after a deadline.
Right.
But having worked so hard with a group of people that you enjoy working with it's a very fulfilling time.
All right, so open the black curtain here a little bit for us. I'm not asking for any names, but is there a general manager that will call you at any ridiculous time of the day or night who has no appreciation for whether you're sleeping, eating, or anything? Yes,
yeah,
there is?
There are, I think there's different styles of and agents and players and general managers, other executives that... I don't think it ever comes from a lack of respect. It just really is. We all know that this is the most important thing outside of our families that we do. So there's no inappropriate time. But there were phone calls, well into the morning. There are always email and text exchanges that are happening at very odd times. And there's also a lot of opportunity for creativity at 3 or 4 in the morning when it's quiet, there's no baseball being played.
Well, and, sure, yeah.
There's nothing else going on. So,
did you ever do a deal at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, yeah, we've done. I think we finalized Jose's deal this off season. I think it was close to 2 a.m. So yeah, we've done. There have been numerous transactions and deals that have occurred at odd hours.
You're Arden, us. Jump in.
Ross, it's interesting to hear you yesterday say you're looking forward to how Marco Estrada can impact your club, not only now, but potentially beyond this year. Is that a player you're looking at extending or bringing back to be a part of your rotation in 2018? And if so, what makes you confident that what he's gone through this year isn't the new normal and is just kind of an abnormality?
Yeah, so I would say several things to touch on there, and about Marco potentially being here beyond 2017 is that's one of the benefits of having not traded him is it increases our likelihood to stay more engaged and focus on him as an alternative for 2018. So having said that, we'll see. That takes two parties and we've got to work through alternatives and work through all of those scenarios. To the second question about his performance is, Marco is an incredible athlete, professional, pitcher, person, and he's going to, as we saw yesterday, he's going to have a lot of good baseball ahead of him. Very confident in that. I think he had a tough stretch, which most professional baseball players do. So I think that's all it was. There was a trend, I think, over the last four starts of him. Might be three, but where we could really see he was turning the corner, and yesterday it appeared as though that corner was turned.
You phrased it as this is the benefit of not trading him. Do you Do you think you were limited in what you could do yesterday just in terms of the current value of guys like Estrada and Liriano? They obviously don't have terrific numbers this year. So, you know, in what looked like to me a buyer's market for pitching, do you think that limited your opportunities?
Yeah, I think it was somewhat of a buyer's market. It appeared that way at the start. It felt that way going through it. And, you know, felt as though that, you know, in performance is certainly something that impacts decision making. I do think the bulk of someone's performance is what most teams are hanging their hat on. Having said that, it's a lot easier to sign up for someone who's, you know, just crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and is absolutely dominant. You know, so yeah, I mean, all of that is information and everything gets factored in. So back to Marco specifically, though, I'm quite confident that he's got a lot of great baseball ahead of him and glad that he looked as well as he did yesterday.
Unfortunately, the rest of the bullpen or the bullpen per se was not as good. And after coming from behind with a record setting performance the day before, you cough one up last night. But that's baseball.
Yeah,
that happens.
Tough one.
So help me out here. Phone rings 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's another general manager on the phone. It's coming up to the trade deadline. Generally speaking, how does the conversation begin?
So you're talking about right at 4 p.m. at the
deadline? No. I'm talking about before the deadline. At any time.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, do guys get right to the point, or do they noodle around, or do you know they're looking? They want to talk about somebody, but they're going to distract you by suggesting a different name first. How does this game get played?
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is interesting, and it's you can tell obviously, stating the obvious that each individual approaches it differently. Some general managers are extremely straightforward, extremely focused on one scenario, one concept, one idea. There is something here, or there isn't. Some general managers are thinking about lots of hypotheticals with tons of different pieces involved and equations, and I think all of them are strategic, obviously, and those strategies vary from personality to need to outcome to the magnitude of the deal to the complexity of the deal, and there is no doubt that there is plenty of gamesmanship occurring in each aspect. And you know, we all know one another pretty well too. So there's a playbook on each of us, and
yeah, I guess,
you know, agents have playbooks on me and on other general managers, and you know, we have playbooks on agents. So every single thing we do, and everything I've done in baseball since I've been an executive, is documented. You know, so you start to learn about the ways, and you go back and study the ways of others to. It is, you know, it is interesting because typically they're pretty consistent across the board.
Okay, so put yourself in, examine yourself here. Are you straightforward or are you deceptive and sneaky? What do you think the other general managers would say about Ross Atkins if I asked them?
You know, I hope they would say straightforward. You know, I hope they wouldn't say deceptive and sneaky, because I think I certainly, you know, feel that I am. And yeah, I think that's more sustainable and bodes well for doing more transactions. So, you know, the way that I feel about a transaction is that the best deals are when both teams win, when something happens that both parties walk away feeling good about it, never when someone walks away feeling duped.
You know, Ross, yesterday we saw the New York Yankees add Sonny Gray. Bob and I were just talking about it. That's a very good pitcher who they'll control through 2020. So they got a lot better. Obviously, the Boston Red Sox are already good. The Yankees are already good as well. These look like two teams that are set up well to contend next year and beyond. With you guys saying you want to contend next year and you want to win in 2018, how much does the quality of those two teams factor into your decision-making? Do you have to change the equation and kind of go from trying to build a team that you project can win 88 to 89 games to trying to build a team that you project can win 92 to 93?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. And those organizations have done a great job. They're in good positions. We expect to be as well. Everything's incremental. You can't do it all at once. I think it's, you know, as I've said often and will continue to say, it's It's not going to happen overnight that we have a robust farm system and we have a very young, controllable major league team that's extremely athletic, extremely versatile, extremely durable with depth. You know, look at an organization like the Houston Astros, like the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, one of the things that's so interesting about the Dodgers situation and the Astros, we benefited from their depth greatly. I don't think that Teoscar Hernandez would have been available to us had they not had so much outfield depth. So they were moving from an area of depth that most teams with an asset like that are not moving in a trade deadline and in a rental scenario. And it's not taking, it's more a compliment to them. They've been able to build up that much depth. So I think, you know, we're going to continue to obsess on that, on building from the bottom and building from within. It's just going to take time. If we can continue to win while we're doing that, that's the grand slam. That's the home run. And that's what we're trying to do.
So when you look forward to next year and you kind of look at the core of this team, and it looks like Troy Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson are a very big part of it. Tulowitzki obviously owed a lot of money. Donaldson under team control next year. You're going to need to rely on these players to be good. And these are two players who have not been very productive this year, at least in the context of what they've done in their careers. So with each of those guys, what gives you confidence that they're going to have bounce back years in 2018?
Yeah, how much they care, first and foremost. They're these guys, they think about, live baseball, breathe baseball, and want nothing more than to bring a championship here. So that's first and foremost. Secondarily, their track record. And then, you know, the third aspect is that those guys have been, vulnerable to injuries this year. And I don't expect either of them to be in those situations next year. It certainly could happen. And if that happens, we will have a hard time overcoming that because of what I was just talking about, that we're not in a position where we do have that depth that is at every level and is coming and we can handle those injuries. I think we'll get there in time. The steps yesterday to add someone like Teoscar Hernandez is a step towards that. But it really is. I think, you know, we're betting on the person, the teammates that they are, how much they want it, and we believe in those guys.
80, maybe 90% of the deals that happened yesterday were involved pitchers. Very few position players moved. And when I say that, I mean major league position players. Does that surprise you at all?
Well, it was yesterday. I don't even think there was. Was there a bat that was moved yesterday?
Nori Aoki.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just very, very few bats.
I think there was one or two principals in deals,
right,
that were bats.
Right. I mean, there was very,
very, very few. Very few.
You know, I don't expect that to always be the case, but I do think it is easier from a transaction, from a roster management standpoint with pitching. Subtracting a reliever from your team to add potentially a starter, moving a starter into the bullpen, or just taking an optionable reliever and putting him in AAA that can come back in 10 days, that's a much more common transaction than moving second baseman and third baseman around. So it's just a little bit more complex with an everyday position player than it is with a reliever. Having said that, you know, starting pitching is not an easy transaction to upgrade, as you saw with us last year. I think, you know, the Cleveland Indians right now have a six-man rotation. We had to go into a six-man rotation to maintain that depth because it didn't make sense to option one of those guys that were performing so well. So I think it is a little bit more complex with position players, and you know, really the need for pitching is always going to be there because of the nature of durability in pitching and how hard it is to sustain a starting pitcher for an entire year and a relief pitcher even for an entire year.
For those that aren't aware, players can still be moved until the end of this month and qualify for postseason if, in fact, they clear waivers. There is a philosophy that you put everybody on waivers because they're always recallable. Do you share that philosophy? Or do you think players get insulted by being placed on waivers, and therefore you almost have to read the personality before you decide what to do?
Well, you know, I think every player understands the transactional nature of this business, and that you have to do everything you can to maximize all of your assets. It's certainly, at the same time, they're human beings. So it is definitely a balance and something you have to factor in. But we have to make this organization better, and these guys are paid an awful lot of money to do something that they are obviously very good at and have earned the right to earn that money. But I think that balance is striked because of the professional nature and the expectations of building a championship organization.
So are you likely to put everybody on waivers?
Well, you know, we're gonna do everything we can to maximize our roster and build. So, you know, I think there's we'll entertain every possibility to do that.
Do you have any anticipation for something that was maybe started over the last few weeks that may reach conclusion in the next 4 weeks that would see an additional move made by you and the organization?
Sure. It's a good question, Bob, and I think that's the great thing about the deadline is that you learn so much about other organizations, about other players. We, you know, spent about a month talking about well over 600 players that were prepped out into tiers, and so that when we were presented with a concept and teams came to us, we knew their systems inside and out, and they were prepped in a way that we could be agile. So all of that work doesn't just go away. There will be opportunities tomorrow, there will be opportunities next week, and there will be opportunities in this offseason. And that work that was put in, that we've done over the last month to understand what's available to us and which teams we like, which players we like, is something that we're looking forward to benefit from.
Have you made decisions or any decisions on who you might bring up in September? Too soon for that?
You know, we haven't made decisions. You know, I could eyeball it and, you know, tell you some of the ones that, you know, seem likely, but it really, I don't want to get into that, the details right now. I want those guys to focus on playing every day and playing hard where they are and making the Buffalo Bisons a better team and getting better every day.
But are there some young players that you would like to get an extended look at maybe in late August and into September?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, certainly health will be a factor there. We've some of our young players that would be here have just, and some unfortunate, some have been soft tissue, the concussions for Dalton, the concussion for Dalton Pompey, his knee has been aggravated, Daryl Siciliani's, shoulder, obviously Anthony Alford with the hamate. Those are guys that we could still see, and, you know, it's been unfortunate the way that this year has gone, and Teoscar Hernandez is a guy that, you know, could be here before that. So yeah, there's a good group for us to be thinking about that could come up that we would take a good look at.
Where is Pompey at right now? Are you expecting to see him back on the field soon or at some point this year? It's been such a mysterious year for him.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm hopeful. We are. He's had a tough run. The concussion was unfortunate, and then when he came back, he had a knee issue that we're still getting arms around. We'll have more information in a week, I think. There's several scenarios. He could be playing very soon, and that would be based on how he's feeling and how things are progressing with the knee, and there's a scenario where it's not feeling better, and we've got to consider another alternative.
Before we let you go, give us an update on Devin Travis. Where's he at?
He's been great. Yeah, Devin's been great. He's progressed as well as we possibly could have hoped, and you know, my hope is that we see him this month at some time. So he's strong. He looks great. He's in a really good physical and mental position right now. So extremely optimistic, but don't want to set a hard timeline on it. It's the kind of thing where you can have setbacks, and next thing you know, it's 2 or 3 weeks when you were thinking days.
Well, keep him in an isolation room so that he right. Doesn't hurt himself again.
Hey, Bob, have you played recently? How's your game?
Don't ask.
No?
Atkins.
All right.
I didn't ask you, really, did I? I just asked if you'd played, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm going out later this week, though. I got a couple of games later in the week with some high-powered players and shooters, so I could be my wallet could be a lot lighter.
Awesome,
I don't know how
man.
That will affect my golf game, but we thank you very much for your time, as always, and we'll see you soon, I hope.
Thanks, Ross.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, Bob and Arden. Thanks for having me on, guys.